Okay, hi guys, my name is Shaden Beveridge. Welcome to X's and O's, a podcast where we talk about queer relationships and sex. Who doesn't love those things? Some people actually don't. And we will get into that in this episode. I'm so excited. Wait, first of all, elephant in the room, where am I, by the way? If you're watching, you can tell that I'm not at home in my bed. I am, in fact, in New York City in my sister's apartment, and I also, in fact, did just land off of a plane all of an hour ago, and I do have to be up early in the morning for a job, which I was flown out for. So, sorry for the quality difference. I'm just filming this on my iPhone because for convenience sake, I felt like that would be better for me. Honestly, probably not better for you, but I don't even know if you guys do care. This is what you're getting today. And if you hear any sirens or car noise or street noise, that is just New York, which I love. It's my favorite thing about New York. I love to know that other people are alive. It makes me feel more alive. I love being in New York. I'm in such a good mood. I've been up since 8 a.m. West Coast time, and it's 11:30 East Coast time. So I don't, it's 8:30 West Coast time. I've only been up for 12 hours. I feel like that is, in fact, a normal amount of time to be awake. So I can't really complain. The plane ride obviously took it out of me just a little bit, but I'm just so happy to be here. I'm so happy to be alive and in New York with all these other people. Anyway, we do talk about homophobia and religion and trigger warning SA in this podcast episode. So if that's something that will affect you, I totally understand and highly recommend that you do not listen to this episode. But I will say in advance a huge, huge thank you to Shannon Burns, who is the guest of this podcast, for being so open and honest and amazing in this podcast. And yeah, vulnerability like that changes the world, and sharing your story changes the world, and it makes people feel less alone. And I am just so grateful for her for sharing that and being so honest with the podcast. So, and with me, I don't take it lightly. I really, really don't take it lightly. And I think you guys will love her. I love her. So that's what you have to look forward to in this episode. Otherwise, I guess a mental health check-in. Hey guys, mental health. I am alive and in New York. No, my mental health is pretty good. I hosted my friend Vanessa for a week last week, and then I got this job opportunity in New York the day she was leaving. So I think when you have a job with less structure and then you host someone, I think even if you have a normal job, job with structure, and you host someone for a week, your routine gets off. I already don't really have that much of a routine. So then hosting for a week, my routine was really off. And then the whole time I'm thinking, but next week I'm going to get my life, my routine, it'll all be back together, back to normal. And then I got this job opportunity in New York, which, not complaining. Thank you. I'm very grateful for any and all work I ever do. But I think that's just for my mental health check-in. It kind of a little overwhelmed me, just knowing that I'm not going to get back onto a routine now for another week. But you know what? I cannot complain. Life is good, and I am grateful for any and everything that comes my way. So I am feeling good. I am really feeling good. But just for mental health purposes, that would be the only thing that was kind of on my radar this week. I mean, not the only thing. There's always lots of things. There's always lots of things. But that is kind of the biggest takeaway this week, is just feeling a little bit out of control. But yeah, I'm so happy to be here and get to see my sister, which is so exciting, and her husband, which is so exciting, my brother-in-law. I love them both so dearly. Yeah, I was just thinking, I never really talk that much about the photo work that I do or photo video work I do. I feel like people know I do it. I don't know if you're listening to this and you're like, what the hell are you talking about? I sometimes do things that are unrelated to at Now This Is Living or my brand for photo video for other people. And it's been such a cool experience to do that and for it to kind of not be a part of my social media. I don't talk about it as much. I definitely talk about it a little, but it's not something I go so into detail in. So it's nice to have a different facet of my life that's my own and a little separate. That being said, a lot of the work I do is with one of my best friends, Katya Temkin, and she's an amazing photographer, creative director, videographer, editor, and She does animation. She can do everything. She's so talented. And she's also queer. And I've been trying to get her on this podcast. So if you are interested in the photo video work that I do, unrelated to At Now This Is Living, and you want me to talk about it with someone, I think she would be a great person to have on the podcast. So we all just need to tell Kat to come be on the podcast. But I have been trying to get her already. And obviously the internet is a scary little place, and asking someone to come on and share is can be scary. So, but I still want her to do it, and we could do it in such a fun, cool way. So Kat, come be on the podcast so we can talk about photo and video. I feel like I could dive into the internet being scary, but let's leave that for the future. We talk about that so much. I think let's focus on this episode. I think you guys are really, I hope you really like it. I really love it. I feel like we cover so much in this podcast episode already. We can hold off on internet and internet feelings for another week. But thank you again to Shannon. And also, hey, New York, what's up? Okay. Okay, hi guys, my name is Shannon Beveridge. I'm the host of X's and O's, a podcast where we talk about queer relationships and sex. And today I have a very special guest all the way from Toronto. I'm obsessed with Canadians, apparently, because last week also Canadian. But this week, Shannon Burns.
Hello, another Shannon.
Another Shannon. Shannon squared, thank God. I'm not the only lesbian named Shannon, turns out. I have competition.
No.
Shannon is a radio host from Toronto. You may recognize her from TikTok or the radio. Can you recognize someone?
No, the voice.
Have you heard this voice
before? If you're listening to the podcast, yeah. Maybe.
This
maybe
is a recognizable connecting. Voice. Shannon Burns is here in the building. The building is my house. Thank you for coming.
Thank you for having me.
We've been hanging out all week.
And I broke you down to the
you
point.
You broke me down. I'm like, you know what? You need to come on the podcast. But also, I fully made Vanessa and Shannon change their flight to stay in Canada, in right. LA, with me today. So they were supposed to leave hours ago.
We were supposed to be on the plane right now.
Right now? You should almost be home.
Yeah, that's true, actually. Yeah,
we'd but be instead, close. You're here. And I was like, if you stay, you have to be on the podcast.
We couldn't stay away.
Now here we're doing are. It. But I'm so glad also that we hung out so much, because I do feel like we have a banter going now.
Totally. I know. We've like hung out and we've known each other
forever.
A decade.
That's crazy.
Which is wild.
Look at her over there.
Hey, Vanessa.
Also, Vanessa's here.
Vanessa's our audience. But yeah, we've known each other for 10 years, which is crazy. But I don't think before this year we've really like actually hung out.
Yeah, thank God though. We needed to. But yeah, we know each other from Tumblr, so similar boat as me and Vanessa. If you watched last week's episode, the Tumblr lesbians, they go strong and we stay for a long time.
Yeah, seriously.
We do not give up on these friendships.
There's so many out there still though, which is nice. I feel like everyone's still kind of
I still follow so many people from.
So do I.
What was your handle on Tumblr?
I was took a wrong turn for a long time because I have a bad sense of direction. And then I was Canadian Shay. So because I went by Shay on the internet instead of Shannon. Because Shay Mitchell, her real name is Shannon.
Do you guys know that?
I thought that was really cool.
I thought it was cool too, and I wanted to do that too, and I didn't.
Yeah.
And now we're Shannon.
I did it, and now I'm not. But I was very much in the closet, and then didn't want my family to find me online, so I didn't use my real name, so I went by Shay instead.
I've been in the closet before too.
Yeah, it's rough.
For
rough
a long
times.
Time.
Yeah.
Should we talk about that?
Yeah.
should we talk about that? So, Shannon, you're a lesbian.
I'm a lesbian. I'm with
too.
A woman.
Yeah.
I'm getting married to
engaged.
A woman.
Engaged. Check it out. If you're watching, you can see this ring. Gorgeous. But what is your coming out story?
And yeah.
Obviously, are you from Toronto?
I'm from like right outside Toronto.
Okay.
So, but I downloaded Tumblr and then realized I was gay. I feel like I would have known a lot sooner and a lot younger if I really knew what it was. But I grew up in a really religious, a really strong Christian church. So it wasn't really anything that was talked about or there was, you know, no representation in media.
Yeah. I thought only Ellen DeGeneres was a lesbian.
Yeah, I was like, Will and Grace.
Like, I knew there were gay men, but I did not think women were gay.
Yeah.
But I think I didn't perceive women as sexual in general. I was like, which I don't know, that's a patriarchy thing. But anyway, okay, continue. Yeah.
So didn't really know what it was. But then now, of course, like so many queer people, I look back and I'm like, oh, that girl I was really into at school that I like thought about all the time, that's not normal.
Must have been gay.
Yeah, that's a gay thought. I have two older sisters and I would like after school go to the computer and look up their Facebook profile photos and just like look through them. And I thought it was because I like wanted to be like them and be cool, or I wanted to be their friend and I would think about them all the time. Now in hindsight, I'm like, oh, I wanted to date them.
Yeah, and I love them
and all of that. So it's like so many queer people, that was a big part of the story. And then it wasn't until I was 18 that I came out to my family and then had to deal with all of that, which is a very
intense story.
It's a very intense
story. We're going to get into that.
Yeah.
Okay, wait. Why'd you even make your Tumblr in the first place, though?
My straight friend, Matt, from college told me to download it because I'm really into, like, film and stuff. So he was like, you should download Tumblr.
And then you found us.
Yeah, and then I, like, started following lesbians. A few people, and then it was, like, lesbians. And I was like, oh, I really relate to this. I'm really into this. And I think about that all the time. I'm like, if this guy, Matt, hadn't told me about Tumblr that one day at school, I wouldn't have met my wife.
That's crazy.
I wouldn't be sitting here right now.
No.
I wouldn't have my best friend, Vanessa. Like, literally. It changed my whole life.
It changed
it's so
my
wild.
Whole life. I, like, owe Tumblr my whole
How did you find
entire
it?
Life. I found Tumblr because this girl named Jenna Ann, who
Jenna
had
Anna won.
Yeah. So she was like, had a YouTube channel called Lesbian Answers. And she was, I was obviously doing the classic, am I gay thing?
Right.
And so I watched her YouTube video and she was like, all the lesbians are on Tumblr. And then I made a Tumblr.
Wow.
And then the rest is history, obviously.
That's so wild. But I used to watch her videos as well. And then I actually was a part of a like lesbian YouTube channel.
Like, which I didn't you do like a daily, like,
it was called Absolute Colors. There would be a topic of the week, and then everyone would have a different day, and then they would make a video. I was a sub, so if somebody couldn't do a video, then I would do it. But I was still very much in the closet, so I would like make videos about being in the closet and like giving advice to other people, not thinking,
were
like,
you not scared?
I was terrified, but also I just like really wanted
to
do
it,
and I really loved watching that channel. So even being a part of it, I was like, oh, this is so cool. And it gave me an outlet that I didn't have because I was just like in my room on my computer. But I also think now it really shows that I just really liked making videos and making content, and that's what I still do now, and I love it. So I think that was really just the start of it.
For sure. I think about that all the time because every time I do any interview, everyone's like, what gave you like the confidence to post? I'm like, I can't explain it. It wasn't like I wasn't confident. I just couldn't
not
be alone with my thoughts anymore. I was like, I need to connect. And if this will do it, I will do it. And the internet was so different. It was like way less scary, I feel.
Yeah, Tumblr especially, because you could
it was
be
like
so
secret,
open,
it felt.
But it was secret.
Yeah.
Yeah. But you did a really good, like, you obviously were such a huge part of so many people's coming out and the queer representation that there
like,
is out
I'm
there.
I'm getting nervous.
But no. You are like it's you were such a staple in the community. So I remember, just I seeing all your stuff and I was like, wow, this other Shannon's this really other doing Shannon. It. Wish I could do that too.
And now you do it too.
I know.
It's so crazy.
Look at us. And look I'm on your bed. It's wild.
It is crazy. I filmed this in my bed. I'm like, is this weird?
Nah,
anyway.
I like it.
Okay, let's circle back to your coming out story.
Yeah.
Because it is intense. Do I need more prompting than
that?
No, that's
you
perfect.
Could
do it.
I'll dive right in.
Okay, you
can do it. So just to give full context. So my dad passed away when I was 9, cancer. And then
that is not funny at all. But
no,
the,
not
the
funny
delivery
at all. Cancer. Next. My mom meets a guy that whose wife was also dying of cancer. Isn't that crazy? They met in chemo. And then chemo.
None of this is funny.
None of this is
the
funny.
Way
I'm
you're
sorry.
Saying it is so funny. Yeah,
it was pointed out to me chemo. Yesterday that no matter what I'm talking about, I'm
you're
always smiling.
The whole
I'm
time.
Always smiling. So it's I'm not. I don't mean it. It was horrible. R.I.P. Dad. sorry, mom. Okay, dad dies. Mom gets remarried to a guy same name as my dad. Crazy.
That is crazy.
Oh, brutal. And then they got married when I was 11. Mm-hmm. He started grooming me like very soon after that. I didn't know what grooming was. I thought he was just like giving me a lot of attention and he wanted me to be a special friend and all the things that come with grooming. And then he started sexually abusing me from when I was 13 to when I was 18 years old, which
like
is
your
such
whole teen, your whole teen life.
Yeah. Started in eighth grade, ended first year of college.
That's crazy. It went on for so long. Also, by the way, I just found this out.
Literally.
I just
this.
I just found this out.
Vanessa's like, you should talk about the part that's crazy. But yeah, so that was a huge part of my life and a secret that I just kept with me, and it was happening every day. And I knew what was happening to me because I had like watched Oprah and I knew what sexual abuse was. Like, she would have episodes on it. That's, yeah.
Thank you, Oprah.
Yeah, thank you, Oprah. I met her and I told her and I thanked her.
No way.
Yeah, it was really sweet. So then I knew what it was, but I didn't know how to get out of it. Like, I didn't know... I don't know. And I was...
why would you? You were a kid.
Yeah, exactly. And I was so terrified of him because he was such a scary person and he was very abusive and he was doing that to me. So what else could he do to me and all of those things? So yeah, it was just a secret that I kept, and then it kept happening and it was getting worse and worse and worse. And then eventually... one day I was camping with my whole family. We would do every summer. And for some reason, he had to go back to our hometown, which was a couple hours away. And while he was back home, he went through my room and he found my journal where I talk about being gay and I talk about Tumblr. And I was like talking about these girls that I had a crush on and all this stuff. And then he started blowing up my phone being like, you think you're gay? And he was talking about, and I talked about him abusing me. So he was like, you think that I abuse you? All these things.
I think. Yeah.
You were.
You were. By the way, obviously.
Yeah. So then in that moment, I had planned to keep the secret my whole life. And in that moment, I was like, something came over me where I was like, I have to tell my mom. Like, today's the day. Like, my whole family's here. He's not here.
He's gone.
Yeah. So this is like my chance. And then, yeah, so I just like sat my mom down. We were camping. So I like pulled her into the car and then told her, I was like, I'm being sexually abused by your husband. I'm gay. Cause I'm showing her the text on the phone and he's saying, you think you're gay? So I was like, so okay, side note, I'm gay.
That being the side note, I know. That's so intense.
It was
that's
so
obviously
much.
It's a huge thing in
it
your
was
life
huge,
too.
Huge, yeah. So then my biggest fear too, like he really brainwashed me into thinking that no one would believe me or that they would think that him and I were having some sort of affair.
Yeah.
So then.
He convinced you it was like consensual.
Yeah,
obviously.
He told other people that it was like afterwards that it was consensual or that I had come on to him. And he fell into the weakness of like this 13-year-old girl and he's like 60 years old. So, so silly. And people actually believed it too, which is wild.
So silly.
I'm like, this is all so silly. And then, yeah, it's crazy. So then other people, that was even a thing. There's people still out there that think that like it was me that did it because people said I was like a promiscuous teen, which I also wasn't. It was so bizarre. And then so came out to my mom in that moment. Luckily, she believed me. She was so supportive. Yeah. Texted him, I never want to see you again. Called the police. We got him arrested. All of that. We went and told the rest of my family. Everyone was very supportive. I like had such a great support system through all of that. And then over the next couple of years, we went through the whole court process to get him convicted. And he was charged with 3 things, got convicted on it, and ended up going to prison. But the coming out part of that is that my family was really, really supportive in the abuse stuff, but because we come from such a religious community and it's very Christian, the firm belief in that is that homosexuality is a sin.
Yeah.
So that is something that was a lot harder for them to come around to in all of that, and still something that we're dealing with right now.
Yeah.
So that, yeah, it's unfortunate. And we talk about it pretty often, but they're very firm in their beliefs and I'm very firm in my beliefs, and we have a lot of conversations where we try to meet in the middle.
It's not even a belief.
Like, yeah, right.
You're firm in who you are.
Yeah, it's not that I believe that I'm gay. Like, I'm gay, but I believe that it's okay. Like,
of course,
part of their belief is that you can be born gay, but it's almost like a challenge that God has given you to overcome. So it's like, I can be gay and they understand that, but it's the acting So it's like the fact I'm getting
married.
You're
like giving in to the sin of...
Exactly. So it's been described to me before, like because my dad died and I had to grow up without a dad, that's a challenge that I had in my life. Similar, I'm born gay. This is a challenge that I now have
and
to
that
overcome
you should
in my
like.
Life. And then like be alone the rest of my life like that.
Yeah, why? Okay, this is the thing that confuses me about this also. Wait, before we move on, can I just give you a hug? Because
that's like letting me share.
That's like not. That's so intense.
It's and so
you're
wild.
So
and I'm like smiling like, the whole
and
time.
And by the way, this was my life. It's like that's a lot.
Yeah.
And I'm sure people will listen and have had similar experiences.
But anyone that goes through it too, it's like it really changes your hindsight on things. And I think that's why Vanessa always says I'm really nice and kind. But I think it's
she's not even listening.
But I think it just like gave me a hindsight. Like the fact that I can like go on a trip with my friend or like sleep over at someone's house or like do any the fact that I am allowed to wear pajamas to bed, like things like that, Isn't that so crazy?
No,
yeah. But it, like, I'm so grateful for, like, every moment that I'm no longer in that. Mm-hmm. So it's, like, just brightened my whole life. It's wonderful. Isn't that so great?
Okay. I'm going to cry, though. I know. I love her, too. That makes me emotional. I know it's not the same, and I would never compare anything to anyone's whatever, but I feel like anyone who goes through anything, it can have, like, if you can look at your life with a silver lining, like, my queerness, that's kind of my queerness for me, because it was so dark and heavy. Mm-hmm. And then now every day I'm like, I can't believe I get to live this life.
Yeah.
And, like, if you can take a bad thing and make it that, it can be good.
Yeah.
But it's like, it's not good, obviously.
And through this whole thing too, I remember thinking to myself, like, I can either let this ruin me or I can, like, make something of this. So then there's a lot of determination that came with that.
And also, like, however much I think in, like, a letter to you, which is a video I made on YouTube a long time ago for Buffer Festival, which is in Canada, I said something about, like, you can only feel as much happiness as you feel pains. You can see in people sometimes if they haven't gone through a lot, you're like, wow, like, your threshold of happiness isn't even as high as mine. I can get, like, so much, I can get so much happier than you, which is, like, sweet.
Yeah.
Like, we have to make it a silver lining, otherwise.
Totally. And it's nice that
cry. That if we don't laugh, we'll cry.
Literally, if we don't laugh, we'll cry. I think that's all it comes back to.
It really, like, does. The religion thing.
Yes.
What's confusing to me about all of that also is, like, what do they want us to marry men, and then that poor man, we will never love him.
Either be alone and just don't act on it, which, like, I always think is so annoying, because I'm like, that's, you are going to go home to your husband and kids and your family and have the best time.
You get to feel love and I don't.
And I don't.
Why?
So it's like, what, you get to say.
We should marry a guy?
Yeah. Or, like, hope that maybe there's, like, enough therapy out there that could help me eventually realize that I could be fixed. I have to probably talk to them more about that and who believes
what. Is the goal? What is the goal for you?
Probably for me to, like, end up with a man.
A man.
Yeah.
But, like, your threshold of loving a man is never, you can't.
But they do.
It's not fair.
When it comes to my family specifically, they know Morgan, my fiance. They love Morgan. We hang out with them. We take off our rings. Like, we don't acknowledge that we're together. But that's also because there's a bunch of nieces and nephews, and they don't want to have to explain it yet. Yeah. Okay. So they want that. So that's kind of what I mean, like, there's rules and there's conversations that we've had, and we meet in the middle so that we can still have a relationship with each other, because this is something they believe strongly in, and I want to respect them as much as I can, so I go through that just so that I can have that relationship with them. And
because you love them, they're your family.
And they have these beliefs, and, like, they're wonderful people, and this is what they believe, and that sucks that it's not what I believe. So then I'm like, okay, let's meet in the middle. I also think too, like, Morgan and I talk about this a lot, because she doesn't have a relationship with her mom, and she, because she's the type of person that will be like, okay, I'll
and
just cut you,
cut
off.
You off. Yeah.
And I'm not, but I think the reason that I'm not is I just don't see how that will spark any change. So I'm like, if I keep and I keep showing up with Morgan, and we're super nice, and we, like, are great people to hang out with, I think, then maybe down the
maybe
line
it'll change their opinion.
Yeah, exposure therapy and all that stuff.
Totally.
So,
I feel like I felt the same way when I was in college in Oklahoma. I was gonna transfer to LA and go to a school here, and I came to LA and I, like, looked and toured all these schools after my freshman year of college, and then I was like, what good does that do? You know, like, I'm like, I love my friends. My friends love me. I feel like, what if I stick around and then one day they'll, like gay people because I did that? But I feel like that's, like, almost like a, you have to be a little bit of, like, a masochist to do that.
Literally,
to yourself.
Because no one should have to
No one
it's
should
torture.
Have to, but someone must.
Right.
Someone must. Okay, do you feel, I'm going to ask you the heavy question we talked about before. Do you feel at all, like, we're coming back to the sexual assault of it all, but do you feel at all that people try to invalidate your sexuality because you were assaulted?
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
Yeah, it is something, especially in the religious circles, people want to find a reason for things. So, yeah, that, and the fact that I came out the same day that I opened up about the sexual abuse, that was definitely a part of the conversation. And there were family members that did think that, or maybe still do think that, which is, I don't want to say that it's valid, because I don't think that it is. And I don't believe personally that there's any correlation between the two. And that's because I just think the way that I explain it to other people is that you can be abused, and I was abused for years, yeah. And I'm sure that that didn't help my relationship with men, and maybe it would have affected it more if I was straight, but it's not gonna make me attracted to women,
yeah,
and it's not gonna make me fall in love with women, no. Or like want to have sex with women, like, no. That's not, that it just doesn't work that way,
no.
So it could make me asexual, maybe, yeah. I don't know, that I'm not in that situation, but yeah, I don't think it made you
can't
me gay.
No, I and
you can't
I,
change it, sexual orientation,
but it is interesting that that is like
such a
societally people are like, oh, that's why. Because I was saying to you too, like when I was in high school, my psychology teacher was like, who here in this room thinks people choose to be gay? And like almost every kid in the class raised their hand.
I can't believe that.
And I was in the back like, should I raise my hand? I don't know. I was like, when that happened, then he went around and he was like, why would someone choose that? And the biggest one, the thing that most people in the class like agreed on was because someone was assaulted. So they're like, yeah, if someone got assaulted, they may choose to be gay. And then he told us all these facts that it's like statistically the same amount of queer people as straight people are assaulted. So right. It's like, it doesn't...
Why does this person turn gay and that person doesn't?
There's no scientific evidence at all to back that up. But it's obviously just like societally, like people just cannot wrap their head around it, yeah. I feel. They're like, it has something happened.
Right, something had to have happened.
Something happened. Why would they choose that?
And we're like, yeah, why would we choose this? This is really hard.
Why would we choose this?
I don't want to put all these burdens on my family and embarrassments and have to leave my church community that I've known my whole life. Literally. Like, I had to leave everyone that I knew behind.
Yeah.
With, like, leaving the church and all of that stuff.
Which we have to talk about now.
Yeah.
Okay, so I feel like everyone jokes that you're, like, kind of, like, from, like, a culty situation.
People love to say
Shannon's
from a cult. Shannon's from a cult. I think that I don't want to throw that term around because cults are very serious and they are...
Very serious, but you are from a very intense
religious community. Yeah, yeah. So I say cultish. The church that I belong to, I believe, is like came from Mennonite. So it's a lot of those.
What
things.
Is Mennonite?
Like the Amish.
Yeah.
Like that kind of.
Okay.
Yeah. So, so it's kind of just like a lot of it reminds me of kind of those same principles. So I remember like growing up, I remember when women were able to start voting in the church, like a lot of people that I grew up with don't believe there's an equality between men and women. Like a lot of women believe.
Why would we believe that?
Yeah. Why would we want the same rights as men? But they believe that like men are the head of the household and at the end of the day, like their decision or their beliefs or thoughts count more than the woman. A lot of people just choose to like stay home and raise children, like women.
It's very
that whole thing. So
patriarchy, baby.
Yeah, a lot of that. I never bought anything on a Sunday till I was like over 18. We didn't wear like a lot of jeans. Like we would have to wear. I went to church twice every Sunday. That was very much like the Lord's Day.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a big community, and you marry within the community. If you want to get married within it, you have to become a member.
Wow.
I became an official member when I was 18. I took 7 years of night courses of catechism in order to like do my profession of faith, it's called, to like become an official member. I remember literally texting a girl from Tumblr like at my thing because I was like gay and then still was let me become a member.
Okay. What is your relationship with, like, God now?
So I believe in God still. Okay. And I always have my whole life, so I just don't think... It would be weirder for me to not. Yeah, so I have a good relationship with God. I just don't like the organized religion aspect.
Yeah,
I think there's so much politics that goes into it, and a lot of people that praise or, like tell you to do something but then don't do it.
Yeah. A lot of hypocrisy.
Tons. Yeah. It's crazy. And it's like, yeah, I don't know.
Well...
I'm gay, so they wouldn't let me stay anyways, even if I wanted to.
I got kicked out, so it doesn't matter. But you do have a relationship with God.
Yeah, I have a relationship with God, for sure.
For
which
sure.
I love, so.
Obviously not the same at all, but I'm coming from Dallas, like super Christian area. But I had such an interesting relationship with religion, I feel, growing up, because my parents are from Pennsylvania, but I grew up in Dallas. So I was around all these like very Christian people, with my own parents being very, I was like a creaster.
What is it?
Christmas and Easter, I would go to church.
Gotcha.
You know? So I didn't have like that kind of vibe, but all my friends did. Mm. And then I'm gay, so I was obsessed with my friends.
Right.
So I'd be like, obviously I need to go to Sunday school with you. Right. I wanted to go to church with them, but I just wanted to hang out with them. And I went to like religious camps and stuff, and my parents were just like, sure, like whatever you want to do. And also probably like a week off in the summer, thank God. But
literally.
Literally. Literally. But like I went to like Catholic camp at one point even, and I'm like, I just wanted to hang out with my friends. The first girl I loved, her parents were very religious, very religious. Like we,
was she out?
No, no. We got like outed together. Oh. Kind of her. I've told this story 8 billion times. I, every time I tell the story, like I'll go on another podcast and it comes up every time. Like if I'm on someone else's podcast.
Right, yes.
And people now at this point are like, we get it, Shannon. But I'm like, it is.
You were outed. Yeah.
But her parents put a baby monitor in her room and like found out that we liked each other through the baby monitor. They came to the door and they were like, we have to talk to you. And then she left. 2 hours later, she comes back. Oh,
Were you just sitting there being like, what?
Sitting there,
the hell?
And it was like 11 p.m.
Oh my God.
So I was like,
what do I do?
I had no idea what to do. Yeah. I was just sitting there, like being like, and after like 20 minutes, it was like, oh my God, it's for sure that. They have to know.
Yeah.
Her parents had like a Bible study with her in that time, in the 2 hours while she was gone. And then after that, too, like they had Bible studies every day, basically, her and her mom.
About already or because of this?
Because of it.
Wow.
Like as like a, but I'm like, is this a punishment? Like, yeah. And it was horrible. And we had already, the saddest part of it is that we had already stopped hooking up with each other because, hooking up, we used to make out, that's it. Because of how religious she was and how religious her parents were, she and I had stopped kissing because she was like, we're going to hell. Wow. And I was like, we are.
we need to stop
you
this.
You are right. We wow. are. And I wasn't even like, I didn't grow up that way, which is such a interesting, it was just like the environment, kill, but it was weird. It was like by proxy.
Totally.
It wasn't my own family. And I kind of always knew that my parents would love me no matter what. I feel like my parents really, really raised me with like an idea of like, this love is unconditional.
Yeah.
And also I had an uncle who just passed away like last month, that my parents like always kind of implied they thought he was gay.
Right.
So I feel so bad because I didn't have a relationship with him towards the end of his life. But my whole life, he's kind of the reason I knew I could be gay, because my parents would talk about him and be like, well, your uncle, and he's probably
and we
gay.
Love
and
him.
They and they didn't care.
Yeah.
And then he just died and I never got to tell him that.
Oh,
it's just sad.
That's
but,
so sad.
But it was like I had a different like growing up experience than my friends, but I feel like I almost grew up in like your cultish idea, like vibe, because
any sort of
everyone,
like conservative community,
so
where everyone believes this thing.
Yes,
it's terrifying too, because you're the outcast, like even just having those thoughts
and then
wrong.
Being the outcast but then also fitting in is like so confusing, like I feel like I could have gone my whole life fitting in if I wanted to. I could have kept my hair long. I could have like worn the dresses. I could have married a guy. Like I thought I could.
Right.
And then I was like, and then I got on Tumblr.
Tumblr.
Fucking Tumblr.
Really did it, hey?
It really did.
So well. And yeah, if I hadn't figured that out, give it a couple more years, I would have been married and had 4 kids by now easily.
Totally. And as women, I feel we're already not taught that like we are sexual beings, or that like we should value our own like pleasure, anything. So I thought for sure I felt the same things my friends felt kissing boys. I was like, this is the feeling.
And I had a boyfriend and I thought that too.
I had so many boyfriends. Yeah. I was like, got it. That's it.
Yeah.
Kissing.
I was like, okay, this is it.
I didn't even think twice until I kissed a girl and I was like,
exactly.
I'm like, oh my God, no wonder you guys like this.
Yeah. Or
I
like
literally
even
hated
flirting
it.
With a girl, I was like, oh, the tingles.
And before that, I didn't know I was flirting. I was just like, I love all my friends. I love my friends.
So
my friends
much.
Are the best friends.
I love my sister's
friends.
I want
to hang out with my friends all the time. I want to sit in their lap. Why? I don't know, but I do. Okay, let's talk about homophobia.
We're just crossing off all the like
the funny,
sexual
is,
assault. All the, it's Shannon's dead dad.
It's literally like the most intense subjects, and I've been smiling the whole time too. I'm like, I love to talk to you,
great.
Shannon.
Yeah, and I'm glad to be here.
And homophobia?
Woo.
I know I kind of intro'd you before. You do radio and stuff, but you do a lot of TikToks. You make a lot of content.
Yeah.
And you're forward facing. I feel like maybe people wouldn't even know you're gay all the time, right?
I think you I make it pretty obvious
now. Yeah, but I feel like you could watch a TikTok of yours.
Oh,
and
yeah,
not
know. No.
But
sometimes people will like unfollow me when I do post about being gay because they're like, oh, I didn't know
I
this.
I just found this out.
Yeah.
Okay, but
I didn't know there was a here.
But have you experienced homophobia online?
Yeah, definitely. Yeah,
in real life.
Yeah,
in general.
TikTok is a scary place if your videos end up on the wrong
if
side.
If you go viral anywhere, it's not good.
Oh my goodness. I made a video the other day just being like at a queer bar watching women's hockey, being like, how incredible that this is like full of queer women mm-hmm. supporting. And it still today was like blowing up of people just arguing and like, I don't know.
How did it even get on their For You page?
Yeah, it's so wild. But when I got engaged, I was obviously talking about that nonstop because that was the greatest thing that's ever happened. And then...
okay, crying.
And of course, because I host a radio show and I talk about myself and I talk about pop culture and all these things, I went on my radio show and I was talking about the fact that I proposed to my fiancé.
Are in love. And
yeah.
That's
and we're getting
such a good
married
thing.
And she proposed back. It was a double proposal. It was so wild. So I was sharing that whole story. And I got this email from a woman who said, hey, congratulations on your engagement, although I do have some comments. And she went on to say that by me announcing that engagement, she just feels like that's for more mature audiences. So maybe that's a story that I should have told like later into the night on the radio rather than the middle of the day, because she wouldn't have to want to explain to her 7 and 10 year old all about that and confuse them.
What is
them.
There to explain?
Literally.
Kids get it. They're just
it's
like,
so easy.
Obviously.
It's so easy. And it was so interesting. And what really stuck out to me is that she was like, I'm very supportive of the non-heterosexual communities, but I just don't think that this is something, and then would go on to talk about how she thinks it shouldn't be equal with.
Perfect.
Yeah. So I'm like, you're just, the whole email just is a huge contradiction.
Confusing.
Yeah. And it doesn't make any sense. And you can't congratulate someone.
And you're like, good job.
Yeah.
But
you
also,
can't congratulate
bad
someone
job.
By,
why would you
and then
that?
Tell them to be quiet, like in the same sentence. It doesn't make any sort of sense. So obviously I made a TikTok about it because that's what I do.
As you should.
Yeah. And that was really great because then there was like more conversations happening about that. I got to go on a talk show and there was like articles about it. So
okay.
That was, I think it really furthered that conversation. And a lot of people were, talking about that because it's not an okay thing to do. Don't
no.
say that if you have nothing nice to say.
Also, yeah. Why?
Yeah. It just doesn't make sense.
What gives people the right? But okay, also, didn't you had a really viral TikTok about your parents not your mom not
yeah.
being like okay with your family not congratulating
yeah.
you.
Yeah. I don't know why I filmed myself crying because
I've
I never
done
have
listen,
done it.
Listen.
But
I've
it was
it.
The day that I told my mom I was going to propose and it didn't go like I wanted it to. And I came home and I just could not stop crying. And I couldn't even tell Morgan why I was crying because I couldn't tell her. So then I went into the bathroom and then I was crying and then I recorded myself crying and I just like had that clip in my phone and I was like, I think because it was such a monumental moment in my life that I've been waiting. I don't know. So
of
I was
course.
Like, I just have, I don't know.
I'm not judging you. Listen.
Yeah. I think I was just thinking recently. I was like, why did I record myself? But I'm glad that I did because that clip.
Sometimes you like need to see it to remember.
Yeah.
You're like, wow, this really affected
and
me.
And I just like document every part of my life. So it's that is such a big thing. So even though it's bad, I documented it anyways. And then, yeah, I was interviewing Jonathan Van Ness from Queer Eye. Mm-hmm. And I had just gotten engaged and they had just gotten married. So I was asking like wedding advice. And they were so overly enthusiastic and so excited for us to be engaged, which was really sweet. I did ask them to officiate and they did say yes. So I'm going to hold them to it. And then so then I just pieced those two together. And then it was like me crying and saying like, yeah, my family didn't congratulate because they didn't. Acknowledge it because
they didn't
which they can't do because they don't want to support it, and by congratulating us is showing
support.
So they didn't so then yeah, just piece those two together. I said yeah, my family didn't congratulate me but Jonathan Van Ness did, and that's super sweet. And thousands of people have congratulated us since
yeah.
and it's just been overwhelming.
I mean, the support is always more than the hate. But
yeah,
the hate,
it really is.
The hate really sticks with you more than the support, unfortunately.
The whole,
from my experience.
Yeah, the whole month after we got engaged, I was just a wreck. Like, I was just crying, and I didn't really feel like I could celebrate it because I was just so miserable over, like, I don't know, all my worst fears coming true about my family. And then to see all of that support really just, like, made me feel so much better.
Totally.
And I started planning the wedding after that and just all of that stuff. Maddie Ziegler's mom said she'd walk me down the aisle. So my wedding's going to be full of just, like, celebrities.
Can I come?
There, yeah.
The internet is scary.
It's scary, but it's great.
It's great.
I know.
It's such a double-edged sword. Like, there's so much positivity, but there's obviously so much negativity.
Yeah. Yeah. Have you had
mostly? No. I've been so lucky. Every time I talk to anyone about it, I'm like, I have stayed in such a pocket of the internet for so long. Like, I'm so happy that I just stay with the lesbians. I very rarely reach outside of it.
Right.
So I've experienced...
I feel like some of your, like, lesbian drama has hit the mainstream.
But they don't care.
Oh, okay. Like, they're just, they're not...
If straight people hear about my lesbian drama, they're like, okay, got it.
Right.
They don't, why would they care? Lesbians care.
And they're not going to, like, come in being like, no, you they don't shouldn't get, even
they
be
literally
gay.
Don't think, they're like, okay, interesting. Yeah. I know people who are like, tell me about that. That's interesting. Straight people. And they're like, interesting. That's it. There's no, like, judgment. But I have had, like, homophobia in real life, obviously, coming from Texas. And I had my ex-boyfriend call me and be like, I heard you're a dyke now.
Oh, my goodness.
Okay, you have a small penis. So. You choking over there. I don't even know if it's small, by the way. I have no reference. It's like the only one I ever saw. And I'm like, could be little, could That's be big. It. I don't really know. All I know is I never want to see it again.
Yeah, literally.
Any of them.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah, I'm good.
Can I ask you a question? Because this is a podcast about relationships and sex. What do you think made you realize you wanted to be with your girlfriend forever, your fiance?
That's
forever?
A really great question. I've been best friends with Morgan for like 10 years. Mm-hmm. I met her probably like around the same time that I met you guys. So I always had a crush on her, and I always really enjoyed, like, never got sick of talking to her. I don't know. It wasn't even like something clicked and I was like, oh, I want to be with this person. It was just like I maybe always knew that.
Mm-hmm.
But then the more that we started talking, the more we started spending time together and actually dating, I was like, oh, yeah, this is my person. And now I just can't imagine having a day go by without her. Like, there's no one I would rather spend every moment of my life with. And we still cannot stop talking, you know? So that's like, we never run out of things to talk about.
Do I know? No, I don't know.
You guys, the other side of the best friend story.
I was just going to say that.
Opposite of us.
Literally.
That's the love story of being best friends.
So you and Vanessa realized that you wanted to be in each other's lives forever. But you realized that was not romantically. We were friends that knew we wanted to be in each other's lives forever. But then eventually realized, like, oh, no, it's like as my partner. Yeah, as my lover.
Oh, my God.
Did you guys kiss when you first met?
Yeah, we kissed, like, the second day we met. We made out, for sure. And then anytime... So we were always attracted to each other.
Yeah.
But she lived in North Carolina. I lived in Edmonton, Alberta. Like, we were like, this is not... And I really wanted to go through my slutty phase. I really wanted to get around. I was a religious girl who realized that I was gay and then just, like, full sended
you
into...
literally had years of trauma you needed to get.
I think a lot of that is like reclaiming my, like,
your own
sexuality.
Of course.
So I was like, I can sleep with whoever and I'm gonna, like,
and I will. This keeps coming up on this podcast that I've never had a threesome. And I can't believe I just overheard you the other night be like, I've had a lot of threesomes. I'm like, tell me how.
Yeah, mom.
Why hasn't it happened to me?
I've never talked about threesomes
online
before, ever. Yeah,
we don't have to.
No, that's fine. This is if there's anywhere to talk about it, it's the gayest podcast. I've had a lot of threesomes. I don't know. The situations have popped up, and I'm and I'm a yes man. You know, I'm like. And I think, like, let's have some life experiences. This will make a great story. And
they're great stories. I love them all.
Yeah, and it's like I find myself in situations, and
I just can't believe I overheard it, and I also can't believe it's like such a. At this point, if I don't have a threesome by the end of this,
I'm surprised that you haven't. But I also don't.
It's because I'm always in. I'm such a serial.
And like I really only got to know you this week. Yeah. You are a serial dater.
I am a
right,
serial,
and you're like a committed.
So then I'm like, it's me and you, girl.
Yeah,
but I don't even know if I want to. Ever.
That's fair. It's a lot. It's like you gotta really think about twice the stuff. I think I like the challenge, you know.
Also, you were usually like the third, right?
I've never not been.
Yeah,
I think
so. You're the star.
Who can remember?
I don't want that much attention. That's the thing. Like, I feel like it seems like I'm like the job I have, the life I have, I feel like most people who do what I do are kind of more like, it's not in a bad way, but like do want attention or like are kind of like, what is the thing I'm thinking of? I don't know how to explain it, but because of the internet that I grew up with and the way I started online, it was so different. It was like kind of the nerds, like the people alone in their room.
Like the outcasts.
It wasn't like the vloggers. Now it's become like, I don't know why I keep looking at you now. I'm like, help me. Like, help me.
Like, help me explain.
We were hiding on the internet, and now the internet is like exploiting yourself.
Mm-hmm. Right.
The internet, when I started on the internet, was like way more like secretive, not like I'm in public filming myself.
Yeah, look at me.
I struggle still because of that, because now the internet changed and I don't know how to do it. I don't want to do it. I don't like doing it.
Right.
I feel like the threesome thing is kind of like almost like weirdly like the same, where I'm like, I don't want to be the star.
Yeah.
But I don't, I would never, I don't think want to be, shut up. I wouldn't want to be anyone but the third.
Yeah.
But the third is the star.
Is the star.
And I don't want to be the star. Yeah, I want to I think that's why I'm never going to have a threesome in my life.
That makes sense. Wow, that really makes sense.
I just outed myself like that.
That's okay. It made me realize that I do want to be
the star. You do. Yeah, yeah. But and there's nothing wrong with that. Also, no. You being a radio host, you have more of that.
I like the host a show by myself 5 hours a day. So I'm like forcing people to listen to me. Yeah. And if I'm not on the radio for a week, like this week, I'm like, can't wait to get back out there. Yeah, I'm like, put me on the pod. I need a mic.
I made the weirdest metaphor ever.
No, that made sense though. Like, okay. I like that correlation.
Thank you. Do you want to get in here?
Let's wrap this up. Vanessa? Speaking of threesomes.
Oh my God, you guys, should we do it? And wait till you guys see what happens.
Oh my God. Go to our OnlyFans to keep this show going.
You have to get your head in here if you want to be. Okay, do you have anything you want to ask us?
Not really.
Your two favorite Shannons?
I know, isn't that so wild? You have two friends named Shannon.
I do love a Shannon.
Two lesbian friends.
We're sad to leave, though.
We are so sad to leave. Don't this feels like when you go to summer camp and then you have to leave at the end and you're like on that.
No, and you have to just stay, please.
Yeah, the spiritual high. That's a whole other religious thing.
I'm like, wait, Shannon. Me and Vanessa cuddled a little bit this morning.
Did you?
We literally touched arms.
Aw, that's nice.
I woke up this morning. Yeah, do you remember it?
I think it was because it was the last night. And we were.
I know, literally. I woke up this morning. I'm like, I can't believe. There was a whole pillow.
And then I climbed into
there. There was a whole pillow in between us. And I still had my arm. Like, I just touched her arm like this. And she touched my arm back. I'm like.
We were so far. It was like an arm's length. But we were like, we love each other.
You guys, don't get it twisted. Anytime this comes up, we're like, we don't like each other. Anyway. I will miss you guys.
I will miss you too. This has been great. Thanks for hosting us.
Oh my God.
For the whole. Thanks for having me. This was a lot. Like, that's a lot of time to spend with people.
And I would do it longer.
For more than a couple days.
It's like. It was just like not normal because you never have to.
Yeah. No, it's weird.
Like, you never, like, it never happens that way. But
I'm. That you spend, like, a lot of time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You more are like, okay.
It's like a weekend.
Yeah. And then you go home. But.
Not us.
Like, I will always overstay my welcome.
And now we're here another night. I cannot believe that. That's so funny.
Best. This is gonna be the best night of my life. Okay.
Wait, yeah, you guys. Yeah, it is.
We'll keep you posted.
Should we keep recording?
Wait, are we all gonna sleep in this bed?
Three people already did sleep in this bed this week. I'm not gonna tell you who. Me, Vanessa, and Lana. Okay.
And then tells them who.
Thank you so much for watching the podcast. Wait, Shannon, do you have anything coming up that people should pay attention to?
I think I'm interviewing Kristen Stewart. So, yay.
You have to watch. Yay.
Watch all my celebrity interviews because they mean a lot to me.
Yes.
That's all. Follow me on It's Shannon Burns.
Yeah. On everything, right? Yeah. Follow Shannon on everything. She's queer. She's amazing.
Thanks for having me.
Anytime.
That was so nice. That was so lovely.
Wait, I think you might be my favorite guest I ever had, which is awkward because
Vanessa's right there. Aren't you glad that finally after all the begging this week, mm-hmm. I finally got on the pod?
Wait, should we say one last thing?
What?
The very end of the podcast? No. About how I didn't like Shannon for a second?
Me? You didn't like me? My biggest fear. Oh no, what? Is that why you didn't let me sit on my side?
No,
what? You didn't like me?
Do you not know this story?
No.
Oh my God. But it's not real. That you tweeted.
Oh. I'm sorry. I really thought it was funny and I didn't think twice about it.
But
I made a joke and it didn't land.
But it's because we had broken up. You didn't know.
I had no idea.
I know.
I thought. Can we say what it is?
Yeah.
In an interview. Which is even worse.
No, I didn't.
No, it was a tweet. It was
I
a
did
tweet,
say it
right?
to her face, though.
Which is hilarious.
Wait. Oh, my goodness. Okay, so I interviewed Fletcher.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's okay.
And then, it's okay. And then I didn't even remember what the joke was. I just, something about being the
There's
other
like
Shannon.
There's like another Shannon in town or something.
Oh, yeah, we were like taking the photo together.
Just a picture, yeah.
Yeah, and I said, oh, I guess there's another Shannon. In town?
Is it wasn't even bad. You didn't even say anything bad. We just had broken up. And
like just, yeah.
And I like,
and we don't
just,
know each other that well.
Like, but, and I was like, wait, that was my friend. And then I was like, fuck Shannon Burns. For like literally 5 seconds, and then Vanessa and you became friends. You didn't even do anything wrong.
And I didn't know you guys were broken up.
I know.
Like,
you didn't do anything wrong. I was a sensitive girl.
Right.
That time.
It was just bad timing. Bad joke. Bad timing.
I was being bibbit, and it was my own situation because we never told anyone we were dating or not dating. So why would you know?
Right.
You shouldn't have known. You didn't do anything wrong. I just was like, fuck.
Like, fuck that.
I'm like, why the fuck would you say that, Shannon Burns? I'm leaving that at the very end of the podcast. People are going to be like, oh. That's the first time I'm going to even name drop an ex. And I'm going to leave it in because it's fine.
And I did it.
And Shannon Burns did it. Okay.
Let me name drop all the others.
No. I'm like, no. Mic cuts out. Okay. Love you guys. Bye.